as Tazria Mitzayra. I wish it were only Tazria, because then we could have done the entire Kliyakar on the Parsha. Because he has... No, I mean, it's enough. You know, it's enough that we could have just done the whole Parsha, really. But it's a dull Parsha, and so therefore the pickings are wider, and so therefore we'll get to whatever we get to. Anyway, the first part that we're going to look at is just the opening of the Parsha, which isn't really connected to the rest of the theme of Tazria Mitzora. Tazria Mitzora, of course, largely talks about Tzaras and the punishment of Tzaras, and of course getting rid of the Tzaras when the time comes. And so, as you can imagine, as many Mephorshim who wax a lot, I'm going to say wax poetic, but who wax a lot about the Parsha, they end up talking much about Lashon Hara. That's usually the theme which follows. So we'll delve into that from the Kliyakar's perspective, of course. But just the introduction I thought was interesting with respect to Isha Ki Sazria. So of course the pasuk Beis Daber Al Bnei Yisrael Lemor. This is what Hashem says to Moshe to tell them that when Isha Ki Sazria, that when a woman has a child, Yaldah Zachar, and the child's a male, V'tama'a Shivas Yamim. She's going to be tame for 7 days, following however the rules of nida work post birth. That's what's going to happen. And then so 8th day we have the mitzvah of mila, and then for 33 days she's in the dame tahara, she's in the blood of purification, or of purity. And all the rules associated with that, which the Kliyakar doesn't really address, but he does talk about this question of what does it mean that this tuma comes upon her? What is the tuma which we're talking about? So let's take a look at the first source on page one, which is pasuk Beis. Yishaki Sazri Amru Chazal Ish Mazri Atchila Yoledes Nakeva Isha Mazras Tachila Yoledes Zachar. So first of all, you know, between the Gemara Nida and all the knowledge of the times. As far as just how a child is conceived and what happens therein, so a lot of this stuff doesn't necessarily stim with science as we know it, which is fine. I remember when I was in the smicha program, Rabbi Tendler, we learned Hilchos Nida, and he said Chazal didn't know about the egg. Okay, in other words, they knew about the zera of man because you could see it, but the egg is microscopic and they didn't even know about it. They just assumed that the sperm was implanted in the uterus and it became a baby. And the Gemara talks about how they, because what do they know? They know that a woman menstruates. So what is menstruation? It's blood. What's blood? It's blood. And what's semen? It's white. So they knew that they figure the white makes bones and the blood makes the blood. And so somehow that creates the body. But they didn't know about the egg per se. So whenever you read Chachamim talking about this stuff, they're talking based on whatever scientific knowledge that they had, and whatever was perceived at the time. I once actually heard a class given by Dr. Eddie Reichman, so, you know, a well-known doctor and bioethicist, and he produced on his handout drawings and images of how they perceived of conception. Like, and in the drawing, it's like a zoom in on what's inside the zera, and they have, you know, like you have a tiny little baby, you know, but it's already in there, which just needs a uterus in order for it to grow, which obviously is beyond ridiculous. But that wasn't a Chazal source; that was just an illustration from some old medical textbook, and he was just making the point that was what people, at least in some circles at certain times, perceived was what conception was. But anyway, so this is a classic line about how you either have a male or a female child. So he says, "V'am mafarshim kasu shizayin yan tivi." The mafarshim write that this is a natural process. V'kashul lavin matzoch madasin yan zeh mafarsha zohem duberes mitumas yoledes shiva lezachar shvoayim l'nekeva. He says, "Why? You know, what do we need this whole idea of explaining how you get a boy versus how you get a girl when we're talking about tumas leda? You know, if you want to talk about how you get a boy or how you get a girl, so you know, let that be somewhere else. But why is it mentioned in the context of this here?" V'od ma'anyin mitzvah samila l'kan. And also, if you're talking about tumas leida, well, you have to talk about mila. Ava b'chinu chalamar, sh'ratz li tentam lama na mila b'shmini. So maybe you want, you know, he wants to give us a reason why the Mila is on the eighth day, and the Mila is on the eighth day, and that's related to the way you understand the tumah of the woman. And essentially, I mean, you know, we don't practice this now, because after birth, we assume that the blood which continues to flow post birth is all just, in our terms, we just call it Dam Nida. And so therefore, the Nida period which follows birth is typically, I mean, you know, in many women it's at least a month, if not more. So, but what this means is that after Shivas Yamim, the dam, the blood which comes out, is Dmei Tahara. It's not considered Dam Nida. And so therefore, you know, even though this is highly not recommended by the medical community, they say that intercourse shouldn't continue for, I think, 6 weeks after birth, which makes you wonder how some siblings are 9 months apart. But anyway, okay, it happens. Okay, but anyway, so he says, I'm sorry. So the point is that the woman is not Tsumeya anymore after 7 days. So theoretically, on the night after the seventh day. Right, Muteris Minat Torah. Obviously, we don't do that nowadays. But anyway, the point is that why should they be sad? They can't touch each other. They can't have relations anymore. So that's the idea of why on the eighth day after 7 days she is not considered Tamei'a. She's in what's called Dmei Tahara. She's in her blood of purity. Shari Yesh Lo Tumas Shiva Mikol Makom Ki Deli Yash Kol Gushes B'Derech Echad Omer Ani Shekol Zeh Nimshach B'Derech Teva Min Chet HaKadum. So he says, in order to answer all the questions that you're going to have about what this is all about, what's the connection here, why is there all this discussion, how is it all related to one another, he said it all goes back to the original sin. Moshe Neymar V'Tahara Mimakor Dameha, she becomes Tahor from the original source of her blood. What's the original source of her blood? Okay, Chava, ki achita kadum shel Chava hu makor niftach l'damim tmeim. The whole idea that birth should take place in the manner that it takes place is all based on the experience of Chava. Okay, makor niftach l'damim tmeim elu l'chatos l'nida kemo shematzino riyus l'kvaravdimi habar abe etzponech. Right, the Gemara in Erevin discusses that the curse which is given to Chava, that your labor pains will be very difficult. Elu shnei tipei damim, dam nida v'dam besulim. So that refers to the two kinds of blood. In other words, there wasn't supposed to be menstruation. There wasn't supposed to be dam besulim. These things should not have been in place, but they were put in place on account of Chava. V'chein mashmi Yerushalmi perek ba'am madlik et shechet shel Chava hu makor l'dam nida. Okay, that the sin of Chava is the source of the rules of nida. L'kach ne'emar v'tahara v'korm damea. That she has to achieve tahara from the original source of the blood. He called nashim, all nashim tzrichon tahara achid rishon asher men nispashta tuma v'zuma be'olam v'gram l'chol naladim tuma shiva. Basically, Chava is faulted with just the whole experience of women, and women, you know, he makes this claim, are still paying the price. Ki ilu lo chato adam hayekamalach lohim l'malam min ma'arechas shiva. Right, if man, when it says ha adam, it doesn't mean the man. It means humanity. If humanity hadn't sinned, then we'd be like angels. But because of the sin, unfortunately, this is what happened. Anyway, up until the two dots which I gave you, essentially just focus on that idea. And then he mentions how Shiva is base, Chol Shmini Ruchani, Kihu Lamala Mishvi, that's the very last line that I gave you, Kimavuar Lamala Parsha Shmini, where last week we talked about the idea that Shmini, I think we talked about it, the idea that that Shmini is Lamala Min, Teva or straight is seven, and then eight is more Kadosh, and that's something which is discussed in Parsha Shmini, which we went over last week. Okay, but the point is, now by the way, you see how he mentions Bama Madlikin? So, you know the Mishnah, the very difficult Mishnah, Mishlosh Dvarim, Nashim, Mesos, Mishas, Lagasa. Okay, Nida Chalad Lagasaner. This is a very difficult Mishnah, so it bothered me for a very long time until I found a Medrash Tanchuma, which explains that all of that stuff, it's not causality. It's not that women if they don't do these, they will die. What it means is that the concept that childbirth could cause death is all related to nidachala lagasaner, and the Tanchuma, in going through it, explains how each of those mitzvos is meant to be a tikkun for the sin of Chava. Okay, and they're each plain words. So when you look at it that way, it's not. Again, it doesn't make it a beautiful Mishnah in any case, but it's not a horribly disgusting Mishnah. Oh, if they don't do this, they're going to die. No, ridiculous. It means that the fact that that childbirth could, lo aleinu, it could be death-inducing, it's dangerous, all goes back to Chava. That's really what it means. And so when you look at it from that perspective, you at least understand that this is why women should take these mitzvot seriously, because hopefully in their merit, it's a tikkun for Chava, and this way, you know, childbirth should not be dangerous, and hopefully that should be the case for everybody. It shouldn't be dangerous. Okay, so that's the opening. Beyond that, I think we're going to be looking for the most part. So, I mean, you just look at Ches just for a second. You see where he also mentions that there v'chiper aleha kohen v'tahira. Basically, at the end of all this discussion about what happens with the male child, with the female child, so the wife, she brings two karbanos. Okay, look at pasuk vav. She brings an ola, and a sin offering. Okay, so when we talked, so I think I mentioned this on Shabbos in the beginning of Shemini, or did we do it here? No, we did it here. Okay, we did it here as well. That the idea what's the difference between an ola and a chatas? So a chatas is a sin offering which is based on your action. And what's an ola? It's not a sin offering, but it's meant to be a tikkun for hearer, for thought. Okay, so that's the reason why she brings both, and he just explains what that means. I'm sure many of you have probably heard this before. V'chiper ala kohen v'tohar, kapara zo hi alav anakadum shel chava, shegram latzar aleda mitotzar. Okay, so there the idea is that this all comes from chava. So I mentioned that before. So take a look at the next paragraph. V'yesh omrim shekapara zo ala shvua shenishbas. Why does she need a kapara? Why does she need an atonement? What has she done? She gave birth to a child. What's the big deal? So why should she have to bring a sin offering? So why? Because during the birth it was so painful. So from the time that she starts getting the birth pangs, the labor pains, she says, "That's it. No more husband. I'm not interested in this anymore." Because she's so overjoyed, she's like, boy, bris, therefore it's a big simcha. So her atonement or her kapara comes quicker because she becomes joyous quicker. So somebody gives birth to a girl, so she stays blissfully in her house, doesn't have to go out, doesn't have to be made up for some simcha, she can have the kiddush whenever she wants. Right, so her, she doesn't regret as quickly whatever it is that she felt or said. Even though whatever swear she made, I'm never going to be with my husband again, it's irrelevant. Okay, the imlo chayin ech mutaris labala achar shiva lezachar shvarim nekeva. Again, in Torah, she's permitted to be with her husband after a week, after a son, and after 2 weeks, after a daughter. But if she made this swear, I'm done. That's it. No more. So how could she be reunited with him? So, below Kapar Shari Avos, Akapar, Achar Boyim, Lezachar, Shmonim, Lenekeva. At least, according to this, she has to wait 40 days until she brings the carbon after a boy, and 80 days after she has a girl before she brings the carbon. So, how on earth should she be with her husband? So, clearly, whatever shvuah she made is not chal. Ki be'emes ain kan shvuah, ki ain adavar biyada. It's like somebody who says, I swear I'm not going to pay back something which I owe. It doesn't work that way. There's a responsibility. And it's a two-way street, by the way, this responsibility. But the point is that she can't swear off something which is part of the marriage contract. But she does need atonement for the fact that she made a shvua, even though the shvua is not valid. V'hir harabaliba likrotagar al Hashem mitok tzara, and she had a hear her avera that she was mad at God. Al kain karbona chatas lechaper al chet hamaseh. Right, the chatas is for the swear. Ki akimas vaseh achashuv kamaisa, and whatever she came out of her mouth, even though it's not chal, is a maisa, is an action. The ola al hear her alev, and so the ola comes for what she thought, regarding her relationship with the Almighty. Okay, so that's just this fits in line, 100% with what he talked about last week with regard to the Ola and the Chatas and the difference between what Aaron brought and what the Bnei Yisrael brought, owing to the Karban the Chet HaEgel, as we saw in last week's class.
So I'm surprised why he doesn't say that the husband can make for her being Matir Neder.
He does say it.
Spacing out.
No. He doesn't say that here. No, he doesn't say that here. At least not in the part that I shared with you. Yeah. The point is that it's not. She's not. You need to be matir neder because it's not chal in the first place.
Right. As you said, it's part of the.
That's what
right. Okay. Right. So I could. I guess you can. I don't want to bring an example of a neder that I could say because I guess theoretically could be chal. But I could make a neder that I'm never going to eat kosher food again. Okay? Stuart, I can make a neder that I'm never going to eat kosher food again. All right, shkoyach, then you're going to die. I mean, you can't make such a neder. Okay? So that's the point. Okay. All right, let's move on. So now we go into the rules of Tzaras. Okay? So in Perek Gimel, I derer Hashem, Moshe, Be'al, Aron, Limor, Adam, the Torah starts going to all the technical detail of how a person finds the mark on their flesh, which of course needs to be diagnosed by the Kohen. It's a unique kind of circumstance in which where the law is determined by what the Kohen says. Okay, it's wonderful. Let's say the Kohen looks at you and says, "You know what? You're a nice guy. It's not Tzaras." Guess what?
You're good.
Not to rest. Okay?
She can have it for 2 weeks. Right. Unless the client says,
Right. So, that, of course, you gotta go to a coin on Mars. Okay, but whatever. Anyway, so he asks the question. He says, if you're gonna make a connection of different things, talk about other kinds of, I don't know if there are other kinds of negayim or different things that could happen. Towards the end of the parasha, it talks about, different fluids that come out of a person's body, different types of tumah. But, birth is a little more joyous, even though there's olachatas, whatever. But he says, what's the connection? Samach parshas nagan, the parsha kedem, is hamedaberes bimila, lomar lach shahamila dochas anagan. Okay, it's not about the birth, it's about mila, the bris mila. Can push aside nagan. That if you have such a circumstance, that somebody needs to have a bris, and there's a nega there. You're normally not allowed to cut off the nega. You have to just let it ride. But if there's a mila which needs to be done, so then that can be and the nega is on that spot, then it can be removed. I always wondered about this. What would it mean that a baby has tzaraas? So it'd be very.
Maybe the parents were watching
her. Right, but on the baby, I don't know. So I don't think, well, the only thing that I could think is that for whatever reason, a person just wasn't circumcised. I can't imagine a baby could get tzaraas. I don't think that's remotely possible due to all the reasons. And the Gemara in Erechim gives a number of reasons for how a person can get tzaraas. It's not only Lashon Hara, but again, but even so, all the things which are described are not things that a baby's doing. So I would imagine that it's referring to somebody for whatever reason when they were a child, it was overlooked. And the halacha talks about this, that if you're, it's a chiyuv on the father doesn't take it, it's a chiyuv on Beis Din, if Beis Din doesn't take care of it, it's your chiyuv as you grow older. So that must be the kind of circumstance that we're talking about. Somebody who it was neglected by the father, by the Beis Din, and now this person finds that they have tzaraas. And look, I'll give you another example. I met a fellow. This friend of mine is who grew up in the Soviet Union. So his father moved here when he was in his 60s. He's now in his 80s. Okay. And the last time I saw him, he says to me, "Look, I'm an old man." And he, without saying exactly what he was asking, but I understood what he was asking. He said, "So there's a misnomer that if you don't have a tattoo, if you have a tattoo, you can't be buried in a Jewish cemetery." He says, if there happens to be a person who isn't circumcised, can he be buried in a Jewish cemetery? I said the answer is yes, but the truth is that if it's not taken care of in life, the Chevra Kadisha could take care of it for the person. Okay, and there is such a practice. And I said, I promise that whoever it is that you're talking about won't feel it at that point. Okay, but he was worried. But he was saying, like, you know, I'm an old man. I'm not comfortable. I said, okay, listen, nobody's blaming you for having grown up in the Soviet Union. You know, Baruch Hashem, you've got from grandchildren, from children. It's incredible that they are where they are. So thank God. Anyway, so what?
With the Tahara, everything comes out.
Right. Well, yeah, exactly. Okay. Anyway, so then he goes on to describe other things related to what is docha, something else, okay? And then he has this longer discussion about the different kinds of orlas which exist, and one of them is orlas hapeh, right? The four, like Moshe's, you know, ahinani aral sfasai. So anyway, but if you look at the very last line, or look at the second to last line on the page here, okay, so in other words, there's what to be learned about the connection of the different kinds of mila which exist. There's only one kind of mila, which is a physical mila. Everything else is a mila. Like there's orlas halev, for example. You want to remove the orlas halev, which is the inhibitor of getting close to the Rabbanu Shalom. So once he does that, the part which I gave you in small, he focuses on the word uz, and how the word uz is the gematria 8, and there's a number of times that the word uz is associated with Moshe, like uz yavdil Moshe, uz amrachasan damim lamulos, uz me uz bas yaparo davar b'shmecha, and of course most notably uz yashir Moshe. So those are all just a number of different things which he raises here, just to show you the connection of the number 8 and how Moshe brought about the gula, I guess. Anyway, okay, so I didn't want to go into that in detail, but I just wanted to show it to you, and so there you have it. All right, let's take a look at the next thing as well. Okay. Yeah. All right, so let's take a look at this. This is Se'es o Sapachas o Baharis. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, same pasuk. Okay, so we're talking about the different kinds of marks which a person can have on their flesh. And the art school gives a translation. Actually, art school doesn't give a translation. Okay, look at the also, if a person finds on his flesh a se'es or a sapachas or a baharis, this is classic art school. They do this also in last week's parsha with all the birds. Mm-hmm. Instead of translating what the birds are, they just write, you know, the duchifas and the ataleif, you know, thank you very much, art school. And then in the commentary, they give all the different opinions that they found. Anyway, so he says, b'inyan atzaras yesh deos chalukos. There are many different opinions. Some say that it is a natural illness of some kind, which just comes from within the body. And some say, and some say, no, it's completely a punishment, and it comes to show that this person has been conducting oneself with bad behavior. He says, no, the word mitzora, you should know, it means motzira, that one, it brings out the badness. What does it mean it brings out the badness? That it reveals and it brings out all of the badness that is in somebody. Whether it's just something which is inside him that's terrible, or something which he does in secret, such striking his neighbor down with his tongue. People don't know to stay away from this guy because he's got what's the expression when somebody has a nasty tongue? There's an expression about it. It's not a snake tongue. Sharp tongue. There was something even worse. You're worse than that, but yeah. Not like that. Okay? So, Alkein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mefarsim Al Chanafim Motzi Kol Ra'aso L'chutz Kedei Shetegaleh Ra'aso B'Kahal. So, the whole point of the Tzara'as is to embarrass the guy. That people should be able to see, oh, you've been doing something wrong. Not that they should talk about it, because guess what happens? Okay, you don't talk. Hey, you know who has the right. Can't do that. Okay, v'zev yushav akefel b'pasuk shamar adam kiyab or b'saro se'ei sepachas v'ayab or b'saro l'neged tzaras. Tartei b'or b'saro l'amali. Why do you have to tell me at the beginning that it's in b'or b'saro and at the end of the pasuk or in the middle of the pasuk that it's b'or b'saro? Thank you very much. El lomalcha shezev as'eis v'hashever ilu ayo b'ish tahor ha-machshavos lo ayo mazikin. This is basically the breakdown. that if these thoughts were in somebody who was an ish tahor, then they wouldn't destroy him. He would not kill a ruffle some, because it would be simple refuah. Ach mitzari usam be'or b'saro shel zeh achotei alkei nasu l'negat saras. But because it is in this fellow who is a sinner, it becomes a negat saras. Okay. Now the rest of the stuff, which I put in smaller, again, I just don't have the time to go through it, is where he talks about how all of the sins which are associated with saras can be qualified in three categories. One is lashon hara. One is gasas haruach, which is haughtiness, and the other one is saras ha'ayin. Saras ha'ayin is just like having a negative outlook, the way you view other people. Okay, and then he gives a few more examples, such as the chemdas hamamon, a desire for money, gezel, stealing, and how all of these things are connected. And this is a theme which we're going to see throughout in his describing the different sins which are associated with his saras. Okay, now, in this pasuk as well, we're told that it's going to be brought to Aaron or to one of his sons. So let's take a look at the part which I put in bold about on page 2. This is important. Ruva el Aaron Kohen. Ein taraso kiem al yidei kohen. Yan ki kol mi asher mizera Aaron nimtzubo shalosh midos tavos hafuchim le'elu. Okay, Aaron's lineage, Aaron's progeny, they have three midos which are the exact opposite of the three which I just mentioned. Okay, and he's going to outline them for us. Ki chet halashon gorim kol riv v'chonega u'beinachim yafrid. The sins of the tongue are really the source of all kinds of fights, and they divide between people. Al kein yavo Aaron. So Aaron is the one who has to come. She'achaz b'midas ha'shalom. Aaron is the one whose mida, whose character trait was peace. V'yirpelezek, yihua ya'oiv shalom v'rediv shalom. Aaron is the one who can bring the antidote for lashon hara, which divides people. V'chein chet gasus haruach, and the sin of haughtiness. Ra'ui sheyutukan al yado, it has to be fixed up through Aaron. Ki hu haya anav biyoser. Aaron was a tremendous anav, tremendously humble, as I spoke about on Shabbos. Shamar chazal godom ha'shneemar b'moshe v'aaron ha'shneemar b'avram. What's said about Moshe and Aaron is even greater than what's said about Avraham. The Ilu Avraham Ksiv V'Anochi Ofer Ve'Efer. Avraham says, "I'm dust and ashes," which means I may be very little, I may be almost worthless, but I'm still something. Mm-hmm. And what does it say about Moshe and Aaron? Moshe and Aaron Ksiv V'Nachnuma. And what are we? We are nothing. Which means that in Anivus, in humility, Moshe and Aaron are even more humble than Avram Avinu, who called himself dust and ashes. So for them, to get rid of haughtiness, Aaron is a great candidate for that. V'chein chet chemdas hamamon, and also the sin of loving money, pursuing money. Right? One of the things which is talked about that is a reason for getting saras is greediness, or being miserly. I don't know, miserly, more greedy. Greedy is what it is. So he says, lo yagam kein b'aron. This, there's no such thing as chemdas mamon with Aaron. Ya'an ki ha-kohanim lo'ya lahem chelek v'nachal ba'aretz. The kohanim, they had no portion of land. V'lo'ya lahem yoter mimasha zoch m'shulchan gavoah. And the only thing that the kohanim had was what people gave them, or was in the karbanos. That's it. They didn't have any outside income. There's no moonlighting. No moonlighting for the kohanim. It's like, oh yeah, I work at the base of Midrash, and at night I work at the other base. Like, no. No such thing. They were happy with their portion. That is why the Kohanim are the perfect candidates to bring about the Tahara for people, because they did not have these sins among them. Okay, we're going to skip the next one for now. I wrote here in my notes that it's interesting. But I don't know that it's as interesting as I want it to be for what we're going to do next. Okay, so we skip now to Pasuk Mem He. Skip to Pasuk Mem He. Okay. All right, so this is Shishi. Baldness at the front and the back of the head. And this is actually the Metzora's isolation. That's how our school categorizes the side. Okay, so what do we have here? V'hatzarua, asher bo'anega, Bigadav yihyu frumim v'roshoy yefaruah v'al safam yateh v'tamei tamei yikra. The person with tzaras, his garments shall be rent. Rent means torn. The hair of his head shall be unshorn, and he shall cloak himself up to his lips. He's to call out, contaminated, contaminated. Okay, that's the person with the tzaras. So that's what he's supposed to do. So the Kli Yakar tells us, Matam lomar v'hatzaruah asher bo hanega. Duh. And he doesn't write duh, but that's really what he's asking. He says, the tzaruah, that's the guy who has the nega. Thank you very much. That's the definition of hatzaruah. Okay? Matam lomar asher bo hanega. Pshita. Gimein bo hanega, ain't a tzaruah. Hello? Thank you. Umikan raya shetzaras shem hamaka kimavur lamahala. That the tzaras is the noun. Tzaras is the name of the affliction. V'nega kinoi al ha'avon. What's the nega? The nega is the sin. Okay, v'hatzaruah. Okay, the guy who has tzaras asher bo ha'nega, that there's a sin in him. Not the nega is not referring to the plague. It's referring to what's wrong with him. Not the fact that he has tzaras. It's what caused the tzaras. And that's why you have the word bo. The sinner is either hurting God or hurting people. This nega, which appears in my house, it's avodah zarah. Okay, in other words, it's not a mark on the house. It's that there's something wrong going on in the house. Al kena markan al tzaruah shenilka b'tzaras al shesiper lashon hara levgoma brios. And this is the reason why we have, this is a source for the idea that the person who gets tzaras is getting tzaras because he speaks lashon hara. He's hurting people. Mekabalas chazalish kol posel b'muma posel. Then the rabbi said that anybody who passels others is really passeling with himself. You know, I don't like that guy because he speaks lashon hara. Shkayach. Thank you very much. Okay. L'kach ne'amar asher bo hanega ki bo, it's in him nimtza be'etzem rishona kol nega v'kolon sherotza livgo mo'es chavero. You wanted to knock your friend down, your problem is, and you have the problem that you knocked down your friend over. So rosho ye parua, so his head needs to be unshorn, or but it needs to be exposed l'chaper al gasus rucho. Why do you put people down? Because you want to be up. And your clothes need to be torn. Because you look at other people. Oh, look at the way that guy. He called tzar ayin. Why do you have tzar ayin about other people? Because you're very critical. So this is why you have to live that way yourself. The reason why there's a concern over his lips is because he's been sitting with his lips. Okay. So in other words, the point is that everything about tzaras is full-fledged, perfect example of mida keneged mida over the specific things which bring about tzaras. Okay. So take a look at the very next paragraph, I think, which I gave you. Okay, which is v'abegi ki abo negazav v'teidav v'taskil, right? Ki shlosha minei tzaraz, bo'am al shlosha dvarim. There are three kinds of tzaraz, right? What are the three kinds? Se'es, sapachas, or baharis, right? Or three kinds that one goes on. So that's what that's the three kinds of the marks, but there are also three ways in which a person is attacked. Okay? Shehem kisui la'adam zeh l'fnimi zeh. That each one is a different layer. In which the message is being given to the person that you have a problem. Michse Rishon hu oro libsaro. The first layer goes on his flesh. Oro libsaro. Lamala mi oro bigadav shem kisui li oro. So the next level is to go on the skin, on the clothing rather, because the clothing covers the skin. Lamala mihem, right? In other words, you see, if it's on your flesh, assuming that it's on a part of your flesh, which is typically covered. So who gets the message? You get the message. Okay, if you don't get the message, then because you hide it, and how do you hide it? Putting clothing over it. Okay, then it gets on your clothes. And then it's harder to hide because there's only so much you can keep putting clothes on, and it can keep hitting every garment that you have. Okay? So that's the next kisui. And if that doesn't work, because you stay indoors and nobody sees your clothes, so what happens next? It goes in your house. And unless you throw a termite tent over your house, like they do everywhere in Florida, when you have to get rid of your termites, you know, and then even then, you know, the termite tent can also get it. There's only so much you can hide. Okay, so that's the first view. Everybody who has to remove every cover is exposed. Right, when the people were sitting at the bottom of the mountain with the egel, Moshe said, it's all out in the open, you can't hide it. So the rabbi said that they had tzaras, and maybe that's how they knew which people needed to be killed at the time of the egel. Okay, so that's one view of looking at it. Now skip to where it says, okay? So he says, the rabbis in the Midrash Rabbah, they say that it's actually the opposite. Aseder hafuch goes the other way. God's merciful. God's not going to attack your body. When your body is attacked and you have tzaras, your life is turned over. You have to get out of town. You got to be you're in your own personal gallows for a week or more. So that's not going to be the first way that God's going to attack you. L'kach may be tchila nega al beiso. So first the nega comes in your house. You see it on your house and go, oh man. All right, that's a warning sign. I better change. Okay, and then you get rid of the tzaras in your house, and then you know, okay, God, thank you for sparing me. Okay, that's the word. Lo chazar ba'o, maybe gama begadav. In other words, it gets closer and closer to you, so you realize that God's trying to give you the hint, and if you're not going to catch the hint, then it's going to come on you. Lo chazar ba'o, maybe gama begadav. Mashi hiskir tchila, nigei aguf. So why does it mention the negayim on the body first? God is warning you. I basically explained it already. Right? Moshe warns Paro, I'm going to kill your firstborn. But when does he give you the warning? At the very outset. That's going to be the last resort if you don't let us go. And sure enough, Paro doesn't let him go. So what's the last resort? But the warning comes at the very outset. To let a person know about the worst scenario. The worst scenario is when it comes on your flesh. So you should know about it first. Okay, so it's just, you know, it's nice to see these different perspectives to understand the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates. Okay. All right, we move on from here. So the next part that we have is actually Parshas Metzora. Okay, the opening of Parshas Metzora talks about the method which is utilized to get rid of tzaras. How a person is drawn out of being a Metzora and being able to rejoin the people. So let's take a look at Pasuk Dalid. Why do I do that here? Yeah, I know that I gave you this. No, hold on a second. I don't want to do base. It's just going to dress. We don't need base. Okay, we don't need base. Okay, you have it. You can look at it later. I don't want to do base. I want to start with Dalit. Okay, so pasuk Dalit mitzivah kohen. I'm on page 620 now. Mitzivah kohen velakach lamitaher shetei tziporim chayos toros ve'etz eres v'shnis l'las v'zov. So he gives a little concoction of what the kohen is going to bring. This is the only case in the Torah that I'm aware of where an animal is brought as part of a ritual and the animal lives. One bird is slaughtered, the other one is not. It's a very fascinating vort, which could be removed from there, which I wrote years ago, and it's probably on my blog. So I'm not. I remember I called it the bird who lives, like that. The bird who lives. Okay, that was the best of my Harry Potter references. Oh, the best that Harry Potter connection I ever had was I did a bris once for a baby, and afterwards the mother put on him a shirt that our friend had given her, and it said on it, "He who has just been named." that was very good. So I actually put that on Facebook, and that went viral. And had, I mean, normally like 100 people see what I write. That one, 28,000 people saw that. That was pretty. That was pretty cool. Anyway, so so with this bird, v'lokach lamitayr shtei tziporim. Okay, so let's take a look. L'malam b'parshas Tazria kasafti she'ikar atzeras ba al shalosh averos haruluzim b'parsha. So in Parshas Tazria, I mentioned that the different kinds of tzaras come for the three differences. Hem lashon hara gatzruach chem nasamamon. That's as we saw before. Okay, the lashon hara, haughtiness, and desire for money. Now, pizeh nuchal lomar shatziporim mechaprim ashloshta. Okay, remember, everything is mida keneged mida in some way, shape, or form. And we saw this also last week when we looked at the chatas which Aaron brought, which was an egel, and the ola which the people brought, which was an egel, and it had to do with the chet egel. That was the view which was espoused, because Aaron's maisa was that he made the egel, but he didn't worship it. Where the people, I mean, they were involved in making it, but their sin was really the mecholos, the dancing in front of the egel, which is considered to be hirhur. So for them, they needed an egel which was an ola, because of the hirhur, as we said before, the thought process. Whereas for Aaron, whatever maisa he did, even though it wasn't Avodah Zarah, but it was still, he made the egel, so he had to bring as a chatas the egel. Okay, so again, it's the egel, though, for the sin of the egel. So here, he's saying you're bringing a bird, or birds. Why? For the sin which relates to the bird. What is it? Or at least it's like, it's a, I don't know if it's a metaphor, it's a simile, it's an image of some kind. Al lashon hara, lefisha osin maseptit. Okay? What does a bird do?
Chirp.
What's lashon hara? Chattering. Nowadays we can call it tweeting. Okay. The algasis haruach. Algasis haruach. It's haughtiness. Ha'ole lemala. Ketziporimafos. Okay, like the way birds, they go up. What's gasas haruach? Bring myself up. I'm important. Okay, now chemdas hamamon. What about what you mean? Birds desire money. We talk about. Okay, ki shenem arbo al tiga lehashir ki us ki asoy aselo chnafayim ki nesher va'of hashemayim. Okay, basically, when a person is pursuing money to such a degree. Nowadays, we can actually appreciate this because English has metaphors like this. Where you want wings to fly, okay, so to speak. He says everybody talked about lashon hara. So I'm also going to talk about lashon hara, and so that is what he goes on to do here, to talk about lashon hara and the ills thereof. So, and he just, that was basically his introduction. So I'm going to give you from my own, I guess, intellectual thought process as to what this is all about. So what he does here is he gives us two different, I'll call them maisalach, or two different approaches of where people were explaining how terrible Lashon Hara is. Okay, so the first one is, that I gave you is the rochel, okay? Hachrazah rishona, himashem masig b'midrash harabasi, ma'ase b'rochelcha. What's a rochel?
Gossiper.
A gossiper. Okay, so he was a dude. He was a gossiper. Shaya mechazer b'ayaros esmuchas tzipori. He would walk around the cities near Tzipori. Vaya machriz omer man boy mizman samchai. Who wants to buy the elixir of life? Okay, to make a long story short, some guy comes over to him. And he says, I'd like to buy it. So what does he do? He takes out Sefer Tehillim. I gave you the three, the dots, just to skip. So, Hotzelo Sefer Tehillim, Mechurach, a bound book of Tehillim, Haralo, Pasuk Zen, he showed him Pasuk Nia, Isha Chavetz Chaim, who desires life? Mitzor L'Shem Chameira. Okay, so it's a Samchaim. It's an elixir of life. Guard your tongue from evil. I'm Rav Yanai, Av Shlomo Machriz, Shomer, so Rav Yanai, quoted the Pasuk from Mishlei, that where Shlomo says the same thing, Shomer Pivu Shano, Shomer Mitzeros Nafsho. Somebody who is who watches his tongue is spared of the tzaras of the soul. Shomer Mitzaras Nafsho. There's a play on words. Tzaras is tzaras. The Fikach Moshe Masir Israel Zos Tiet Torah Samitzara Motzi Rad Kan L'Shano. So you see different motifs which are raised here about Miyesh Chavetz Chaim, the Shlomo thing, and that Zos Tiet Torah Samitzara is Motzi Ra. Saras is related to one who is Motzira regarding the evil which comes, which emanates from the person's mouth. Okay, the second example which is given, Achras Hashniya, is the Gemara of Rizar, Machras of Alexandrium, in the middle of the next line. Man Bai Chai, Man Bai Chai, who wants life? Can Ifuli Kuli Alma Vas, Lagabe Amrle, Havlon Chai, they said, give us life. Amar lehu miyosh chavetz chaim nitzar l'shem chaim yiras. He quotes the same pasuk. Shemir yomar adam v'hol v'nitzar kibush shanim yira. Elach le'egar b'sheina. Hamalomar sumir rabbi asitov. Somebody might say, look, I guard my tongue. I can just go to sleep. He says, no, sumir rabbi asitov. You also have to do good. Ve'in tov el Torah. So you have to study Torah. Okay, so we have two different versions here of a story in which a person is giving advice to people about how to get life, and it's the same bottom line, right? Mitzor l'shon chameira, etc. So what the Kli Yakar does is he gives a whole paragraph long, which I didn't give you, but I can just show it to you here. Okay, all of this, the bottom of that paragraph, and then the very top over here is his questions. Where he asks, you know, why is one giving a samachaim? Why is one trying to sell it? Why is one making it elixir? Why is one saying, no, this is it? And one is not talking about the mice of aseto, and the other one is talking about, right? And he has a whole bunch of questions about this. And then he comes up with his answer. Okay, what time do we have? Okay, we've been going for 45 minutes. I know it's 9 o'clock, but we'll go. We usually go for an hour, so if it's okay with everybody, we'll go for it. We'll do that. Hakarovi lalamar behetar kol sfego seilu. Shematzinu b'meseches erchin. He says, so I'm going to start giving the answer. Now, the truth is, he doesn't really give an answer. He starts to lay out a case here of what we're supposed to see. Am Rabbi Chama bar Chanina ma'itakante shel meseper lashon hara tamachachem hu yasek b'torah. So the Gemara there talks about, and this is the Gemara, if you want to know what all the reasons for Lashon Hara are, for getting Tzaraas are, so it's all there in the Gemara in Erechin, Tezvav Mabez. So I don't remember what all of them are, but I know that they're there. So he says, so if there's a time, if somebody says Lashon Hara, what's the Takana? How do you fix it? In Tamachachem hu yasek b'torah. So if the person's a scholar, he should study, and then he won't say Lashon Hara. Shnemar merapei Lashon Eitz Chaim, that what's the healing for the tongue, the tree of life, and what's the tree of life? As we all know, okay. So I mean, that's the answer. She gives the next line. Ve'ein lashon el lashon hara. So first of all, what's the lashon that needs healing? Lashon hara. Chutz ches shachut lashonam. Ve'ein eitz chaim el Torah. Shnemar eitz chaim ilmachazikim. Okay. So the answer to a talmud chacham, somebody who can study Torah, is study Torah. Ve'im ama aretzu. And if the person is an ama aretz, and therefore studying a Torah is not available to him, yashpil atzmo. He should humble himself. Shnemar v'salapa shever beruach, that he should have a broken spirit. Rabbi Abrachin Amir siper ein lo takana shekvar karsu David beruach kodesh shnemar rosh Hashem calls vaseh chalakos l'shem adaberes galos. So he says if somebody is a gossiper, he doesn't really have a takana. That's what Rabbi Abrachin says. Elamai takanto shelo yavol idei lashon hara. In Talmud Chacham Hu, Yasek B'Torah. Okay, so in other words, it's a different gear set there in the Gemara. Not a different gear set, but a different view about how you present this price. The Nirah Shetamash Rabbi Abba Hu, he says, the reasoning for Rabbi Abba, Shadino, saying, Shelo Yelot Takara. Rabbi Abba's point is that, really, Min Adin, a person should not have. There's no way to fix. Right, the mashal about Lashon Hara, right, with the feathers, right, somebody is a Baal Lashon Hara, so the Chacham says to him, here, take these feathers and put it on everybody's doorstep in town. So he does, and then he says, okay, after you've gone to every house, now go collect the feathers. He says, impossible, the wind scattered them. He says, well, that's Lashon Hara. Okay, once you spread Lashon Hara, you can't gather up the pieces. So really, ain't no takana. The Vishim Kvar Sipra Lashon Hara, Vitil Mum B'Kdoshim, Vozi Shemrav, Nispashim Kol Anoze, B'chol Olam, Pshita Shetaka. Like, there's no way to fix it. Right, take a look now. Somebody gets accused of something, a false accusation. Once it's on the internet, you can retract it all you want. Now now even more than anything else, now we can see how a story, a lie, can spread around the world before somebody says, oops, I apologize, it's a lie, it's false. And then, but once it gets spread that way, that's it. That's it. You can't fix it. And even if you want to get everybody, you want to bring every carbon in the world. And as soon as there's a shemra on somebody, the person could do tshuva from today until doomsday. Some people will still say, oh, that person. God forgives, you can't forgive. It's unbelievable. The person can go as far as he wants. Say, I lie. Again, the Kliyakar, he's talking about his time period. I'm addressing like this is what's coming from my own seichel, from my own experience. If somebody says something, as quickly as you said it, it's out there, forget it. You can't fix the reputation of the person you besmirch, so you can't fix your own self. If you're the one who's telling it, you're even worse. Right? In other words, the people who are most vulnerable, people say things about them, forget it. There's no way to fix that. And so that's the way it is for people who are the victims of Lashon Hara. Okay, ain't takana galus of sikha lakos. Al Zamar Malshneba say Sereehu, O so at's miss mutargamina lukhalutin, he shar kach lakhalutim eight takanalo. Okay, so in other words, he's saying the concept of not having a tikkun, David's point in Tehillim, is more for the person who has told the Lashon Hara rather than about the victim. It goes to remind us how devastating Lashon Hara is. Now, go to the next part which I gave you, and this is where he really answers the questions which he raised, like why two stories, why you have Rabbi Alexandri, and the Rochel. The idea of the Rochel, you know, is fascinating in and of itself, because, you know, when you hear the word Rochel, what is a Rochel? Somebody says Rechilus. Okay? So the guy who's the Rochel, he's trying to fix himself up. And how's he doing that? By telling people, look, you know, I don't know, I'm not very proud of my past. So what's my tikkun? My tikkun is by teaching people that Lashon Hara is not good. Okay, so that's the first component. Now, Rabbi Alexandri, he's the one who wasn't selling a Samam Achayim. A, he wasn't selling, and B, he didn't have an elixir. He was just saying, this is what life is all about. You know, Alexandri is over here. Gamu Siper Ein Lo Takana. So he agrees that the person who tells Lashon Hara doesn't have a takana. Alkein lo alakiyem alakitos shalosi proadain. Okay, here's the difference. The Rochel was going to people who have already spoken Lashon Hara. Alexandri was going to people who hadn't spoken Lashon Hara. Vaya maziramum lamdam derech shmiras abrios. He was telling them how you guard yourself. Shalo yavoli de Lashon Hara. You shouldn't come to say Lashon Hara. Vaya machriz man boichai man boichai. He says who wants to live? Who wants life? Lo iskir Lashon Sam. He's not talking right. Sam means, if you need a sam, it's an elixir. Why do you need an elixir? Because you already have
sickness.
You already have a sickness. So he's not talking about gan lo iskir lashon lemizvan. He's also not selling anything. Why? Lefisha shmira sabrius eretzarch sam. If you need to protect yourself, right, let's say that somebody doesn't want to go to a doctor. So, you know, everybody tells you don't want to go to a doctor. Okay, so live a healthy lifestyle, eat well, exercise. Right? I mean, this is just information which is readily available. You don't need medicine. Raksha rofe milamdo laho il shi and nishma madivar. The doctor say to him, look, I don't need to examine you. This is, you want to have a healthy life, this is what you have to do. Minadvar mazikum shalo yivol dechol. Right? Don't eat this, do this. Alkein ein nachon shamalamed yivakesh sachar al dvarav. He says, and so therefore it's incorrect that the teacher should ask for payment for what he teaches. Ki mahu bechinam ki adibur nosin lo b'matana. Right? The speech is something which he should give as a gift. And also to teach people how to live a healthy life. So this is why he couldn't sell it. He couldn't be selling a sam, because he's telling people basically this is how you live a healthy life. But somebody who's already sick, that person needs medicines. And it's the medicines through which the doctor gets paid. And that's actually halachically. You know, halachically, a doctor is not really supposed to get paid, but he gets paid for his medicine. He gets paid for the refuah which he provides, not for an examination. Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, the way medicine works today is a little more complicated than that, but that is just base halacha. Ki gam lo, because also to him lo bo b'chinam, they didn't come for free. La nasan demayem or tarachas atzman be'adam, or if he's being toreach for them, so then they're supposed to pay him. Lefisha Rabbi Alexandri halach al kitos atovim shalosu b'lashon aralam dem derech shmiras aprius shalu yavo decholi chet halashon. And since Rabbi Alexandri is going to these people who are not yet sick, al keni christam am b'chay am b'chay v'kafal ha'inyan lomar l'cha sheyesh takan lazeh shalu yavo decholi b'lashon hara. And this is why he said it twice. Who wants life? Who wants life? You shouldn't tell it, and you shouldn't be the victim of it. They wanted to know how do you watch over and take care of your health. So the first thing is, how do you do shmira sabrius? How do you preserve your health? How do you preserve your status quo? That's the Tzor Lashon Chamira. Ulufisha Shmira Sabirus, Ein Tzor Shum Sam, Akein Masik Shama, Akein Masik, Shama Tomar, Elech Vagar Vashena. So you think that that Brius is good enough? Okay, now that you're healthy, you can just go to sleep and that's all you need to do? He says, no, that's not enough. You can't just go to sleep. Tzor Lashoni B'Shevi Al Tassel Gamrin. You can't just sit around and do nothing. Tav Lamar V'Aseh Tov, V'Ein Tov Al Torah. So if you're good because you haven't sinned, fantastic. But now do good. And in this case, it's the Torah learning. It's lamar. Alpi she'enu tzarich samim u'tshuva gdola. Even though you don't need the medicine, you don't need to do tshuva. Come welcome tzarich u'tzarich shano. Aidei tamu Torah. So how do you preserve your ability to be natzarich u'tzarich shon chameira, to guard your tongue from evil? And that we saw from the Gemara in Erechin. That answer to that is to study Torah. Al k'neged amar etzamar. So then he says you have to feel that shiftless, right? To lower yourself, to debase yourself, humbleness. Sheva beruach. Aval rochel zeh. Now let's get back to the rochel. So now we understand Rabbi Alexandri, why he's not selling anything, and why he's just giving it away, and why he's not charging anything, why he's not calling it medication. Aval rochel zeh. So where she yesh takana feel bishet kvar siper. And who would know better than a Rochel himself that there is takana for somebody who has already spoken Lashon Hara? He knows about this himself. Ki gam hu aya Rochel, holich Rochel v'ragil Lashono v'shalech danim bein achim. He was somebody who caused strife between people. V'yachak kach, and afterwards nasan alibo lashuv b'tshuva. He says, I can't go on this way. I have to do tshuva. Ubikesh darkei refuah sheskiru chazal tamu chacham b'talmud Torah ulamar tzaydei sheva ruach. And so he learned that how do you fix it up? If you're a scholar, you study Torah. If you're not ma'aretz, humble yourself. V'ra'ah ki ha'tshuva salalu ha'ilulo. They saw that they worked for him. Hakem la'olibo l'zakos harabim. And so he decided to bring his zechus to everybody else. Ulach zia b'tshuva kolos ha'mayero sheyada behem. So he went around to all the people, to all the towns where he knew the people were gossipers. Right? And he was just trying to help them avoid the negative consequences to come with getting tzaras. Right? And that's why, by the way, he went to a city called Tzipori, okay, that's why. Who wants to buy? He would announce who wants to buy this medicine. They're like sick people because they do have an illness, and the illness is the need to gossip. Obviously, he wasn't taking money from them. But he was saying, you know, you have to buy it. In other words, nowadays in English we would say, you got to buy into it. Okay? Right? It's not enough just to say, okay, go sleep. There's no such thing as getting a healing by sitting around and doing nothing. If you're already sick, you really have to work at achieving your refuah. So he says, why do we need both? We need Rabbi Alexandri because there he really emphasizes the idea you need to study Torah. sheyoila tamat Torah lebishik bar siper. So he was sort of in Rabbi Alexandri's tale. He says the tamat Torah is a preventative because you haven't sinned yet. But the chiddush here is that if you study Torah, then it could actually be a trufa. It could be a healing. It could be an antidote, a medicine, a remedy. Thank you for somebody who's already done it. V'chol kevel aruchel acharuz lomar shtei pamim. My boy, the Mizban Samchaim, he's repeating, just like Rabbi Alexandri said, who wants to live, who wants to live. So he says, who wants to buy, who wants to buy. He agrees that there's no fixing the one about whom the Lashon Hara is speaking. So unfortunately you can't help that guy. I hope that you can help that guy, but there's no takana. So the least you could try to do is get a takana for the person who has already spoken Lashon Hara. Rabbi Alexandri wanted to get a takana as well. Unfortunately, there were people who were hook, line, and sinker Lashon Hara nicks. So they didn't want to buy anything. And he says, and he's really being very critical, the Kliyakar is, for people who are not interested in changing their ways. And they just see negative people, and when you tell them, you know, you really shouldn't do this, they look at the people who give them mussar, who give them criticism. They're always imyimtsugo shemetz psul. They say, "Oh, you're going to tell me about the lashon hara? Well, you do this. Hidei lashon lo tol kore. He said, go fix yourself. You fix yourself first. V'kach amrulo." So this guy who's the rochel, he has a problem, right? Because people are looking at him and say, "You're a rochel. How dare you teach us?" And so the point is, he's saying, "No, this is what I found that works for me, and I'm working on myself, and it works for me, and that's what I'm trying to share with you." And this is, in general, it's a very important lesson when it comes to Musar teachings. To be able, the only person who can really preach it is somebody who practices it. And it's something which we should be mezakeh ourselves, that if we ever want to be critical of anybody, that whatever it is that we're going to talk to them about is something which we shouldn't have in ourselves. Okay, we have to do the last one. Okay, that is in bold, and that is why I put that here in bold. Okay, just because it's his concluding point. The Yatzasi Migidri, and I went out of my little, you know, the way that I normally do. I want to be a parish and chumash. I want to be a parish on Chumash, but he says, I went out of that. Sas b'davar, she'eno me'iyam pshuto shel parsha. I went out of the realm of explaining what's in the Chumash. Yad ki ra'isi dorze parutz me'od me'od b'chet alashon. Okay? He says, I see people, it's such an avla. Hey, when did he live? I mean, 300, 400 years ago? I mean, this is a long time ago. Okay? And he says, Taras no shenesi ki gam begalos b'tzrayim hayu. Ba'avur shahayu b'hev dal torin. He says they were in Egypt. Also the same problem. V'nigalu. Not the same problem. Okay. Yeah. He says v'nigalu b'tzchus habar dvarim. Okay. And then he says they were redeemed for four things. We're familiar with a bunch of them, right? They didn't change their names, etc. And one of them is v'echav b'hem b'tzchus shaloyah b'hem lashon hara. They were not informers. They were not gossipers. They weren't telling each other. The exception is Dasan. You know, Dasan Avir. Okay, whatever. But in the second temple, they went back to their old ways. He says, in our galus, it's worse than ever until the wrath of God is just, there is no way to heal it. He says, that's why I'm trying to be a little inspirational here. That maybe people will listen. He imagines that everybody's reading his commentary. Halavai, right? V'zed arash to bekilas kodesh lublin, parsha zachor shin samach beis. So you get it's really 400 years ago, almost exactly. And he says, and I talked about this in Lublin. V'sasev rashi am when the leaders of the nation were gathered, v'chachmei kol ha'kilos and all the. You know, the smart people of all the congregations, Vinosav Alehem Dvarim Kaina Vachaina, and I went on. So I thought that was important just to see And not that I'm such a mumcha or expert, but we can certainly listen to the Kli Yakar, who I would imagine would not be preaching like this if he didn't practice what he preached. And so it's an important thing to remember when we read these parshas, that it's not just about the diuk and the baharis and understanding what every single piece of tzaras looked like and what it was all about, but it's to really be mezake ourselves and our friends and our neighbors and loved ones to do whatever we can to eradicate the evil of Lashon Hara.
Very nice.
Good.